All right. We are going to be studying this morning in the book of Mark, chapter 6, verses 30 to 44. If you have your Bibles, I would invite you to join me in turning there. Mark, chapter 6, verses 30 to 44. Feeding of the 5,000. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send these people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take 8 months of a man's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish." Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray that you would just anoint your word this morning, and Father, that these thoughts would not be my thoughts, but your thoughts, Lord. And we pray that we would just seek to hear your voice this morning and to be obedient to you. We give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So first of all, let's kind of think back a little bit to a couple Sundays ago when in Mark chapter 6, verses 6 through 12, it talks about Jesus going around teaching from village to village, and he calls his 12 to him, the 12 disciples, and he sends them out 2 by 2. And remember, he's giving them authority over evil spirits, but he tells them not to take anything for their journey except for a staff and you know, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, and they were to wear sandals, but don't take an extra tunic, right? And Jesus did that because he wanted them to go out not dependent on what they had, but dependent on who God was, and that God was totally sufficient to help them as they went out to do what he asked them to do. So the disciples went out. And they did preach that people should repent. And they drove out many demons. And they anointed many sick people with oil. And they healed them. Next, we find in the scripture, if you'll remember from the past couple of Sundays, that then Mark inserts the story about John the Baptist. And remember, John the Baptist testified against Herod and Herodias, because Herodias was Philip's wife. They were committing adultery. So John speaks out against this, and Herod gives a feast. Right, this is a banquet feast that he has, and oh, how different that feast is than the feast that Jesus is about to give. Right, to the 5,000. Herod gives this big feast, and he has all these important people there, and he's just wanting to please them. And so at this feast, Herodias' daughter dances for the king and for his guest, and her mother has kind of put her up to this. And she is has pleased the king so much that after she's done dancing, that he says, "What do you want? I'll give anything to you, up to half the kingdom." And so the girl goes back to ask her mother, "What should I ask for?" And the mom says, I want the head of John the Baptist on a platter, right? Mom has a grudge against this man who's a man of God, who's proclaiming what is true. And so she's tired of it. She doesn't want to hear what's true. She doesn't want to do what's right. And so anyway, Herod was really sorrowful because he thought that John really was truly a man of God. And even though, John was telling him some things about his own life, he was sorrowful that he had committed to do this. But he went ahead and did it because he promised his, and he couldn't back down in front of his guest. So take that story. Now, we're moving us back into chapter 6, about verse 30. And the disciples are back, right? They've gone out. They've been teaching and preaching and healing and casting out demons. They've come back. And it says that they've gathered around Jesus. And they've reported to Jesus everything that they did, right? Everything that they taught, everything that they did. And in verse 31, it says that after that, so many people were coming and going that they didn't even have a chance to eat. So they were busy. The people were kind of coming and going. And Jesus says to his 12 disciples, come with me. Come with me to a quiet place and let's get some rest. So they, the disciples and Jesus, get in a boat and they go to a solitary place. And Mark isn't exactly specific about the place that they went to. We know it was a wilderness place, but in the book of John, it says that they crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee. And then Mark says that many, many people who saw them leaving recognized them, and ran on foot from all the towns, and they got there ahead of them. So if Jesus and all 12 of his disciples were out preaching and healing, it stands to reason, right, that a lot of people probably knew who they were at this point. They probably saw them healing and teaching, and they just really wanted to be close to Jesus and his disciples. After all, some good things were happening, right? And so at any rate, in verse 33, it says that when the disciples and Jesus landed in this solitary place, they got out of their boat, and lo and behold, there were all these people that were waiting for them. And when Jesus saw this big, large crowd, it says that he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began teaching them many things. And there are some theologians that think that Mark is referencing the scripture back in Numbers 27:17, where Moses prays for God to supply a leader after him to take his role. And this description of these people also brings to mind Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 1 to 31, where God promises to feed his sheep by sending a king like David to be their shepherd. And in other words, this allusion to all these Old Testament passages was probably suggested by Mark. To suggest that Jesus is here fulfilling the role of the longed-for King of Israel, the Messiah, who, like Moses, teaches the people in the wilderness and he feeds them. In the Old Testament passage we read earlier, that Alex read for us earlier in Isaiah 40, Isaiah is talking or foretelling about Jesus when he says, he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and he carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Jesus is the gentle shepherd. Just as he had compassion on that large crowd, do you know that they were like sheep without a shepherd? So he has compassion on us. And he knows who we are, and he has compassion on us because we are like sheep without a shepherd. In verse 35, we look at that, and it says, by this time, it was really late in the day. And we want to remember that earlier the disciples and Jesus had so many people coming and going that they didn't have time to eat, right? Have you ever had such a busy day you didn't have time to eat? It's happened to me before. Anyways, so they had all these people there. Jesus was teaching, and the disciples were noticing that the day was kind of getting late. They were probably feeling their stomachs rumble, and they were probably saying, you know what? We haven't had anything to eat. These people haven't had anything to eat. And I really, this is kind of a remote place. It's kind of like a wilderness. And do you know what? We really need to do something about this, Jesus. All these poor people. And you know what? There's no place for us to give them something here. So really, there's can we just send them out to all these surrounding towns and villages? And maybe perhaps they can get something to eat over there. But is that what Jesus has in mind for here? No, it's not. Jesus looks at his disciples and he says, you give them something to eat. So, wow. The disciples are kind of taken aback. And they're already a little amazed and a little put out to think that Jesus would actually ask them to give this huge crowd something to eat, right? So in verse 37, they say to Jesus, it would take 8 months' wages to feed all these people. And are we supposed to go out and spend that much money on bread and give it to them to eat? So let's think for a moment. Sometimes it seems like the disciples just have a little bit of short-term memory here. Because didn't we just read at the beginning of the story, in verse 30, that they gathered around Jesus and they reported to him all that they had done and taught? Didn't we just read that? It seems like they had a hard time remembering that Jesus sent them out. Remember, no bag, no money, no extra tunic. They were to take their sandals. They were to just take their staff. And it seems to me that that wasn't that long ago. But anyway, these disciples are thinking, man, Jesus, how in the world are we going to give these people something to eat, right? So here's Jesus telling them, and they're surprised that he would ask them to do such a thing. And Jesus is probably thinking to himself, I am constantly teaching these guys, and yet it seems like they are learning nothing, right? They're learning nothing about the kingdom of God and where their power comes from. I mean, what about that manna that God rained down on the people of Israel when they were in the wilderness, right? It also reminds me of a prayer that Jesus taught the disciples to pray, give us this day our daily bread, right? So anyway, even though Jesus is probably thinking these things, he patiently says to his disciples, or asks them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. So the disciples go out and they find the 5 loaves of bread and they find 2 fish. And the book of John tells us that there's a little boy that gave them his 5 loaves of bread and his 2 fish. Can we thank God for the children who are willing to give Jesus everything they have? How is it that sometimes children are more willing than we? Right? Then Jesus directed the disciples to have all the people sit down in groups of hundreds and fifties on the green grass. And it seems like Mark is trying to make a point in verse 41 when he says that Jesus is taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Like, it was a really small amount, right? I mean, these people were thinking, okay, 5 loaves and 2 fish, and there's 5,000 men. And they're just waiting to see what's going to happen. And in Judaism, it was a stringent rule that nothing should be eaten without thanking God before and after the meal. So as was also customary at Jewish meals, Jesus took the bread in his hands. He pronounced the blessing. He broke the bread into pieces, and he distributed. And the only place where Jesus deviates from this Jewish custom was that he looked toward heaven rather than downward when he pronounced the blessing, because he knew that this was no ordinary meal. He acknowledged a reliance on the Heavenly Father for the extraordinary power that was necessary to meet all these people's needs. Verse 41 through 44 says that he gave the loaves to his disciples to set before the people, and he also divided the 2 fish among them all, and they all ate, and they were all satisfied. And afterwards, the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. And the number of men who had eaten was how many? 5,000. You're right. And let's think for a moment about those poor disciples. Have we ever been like them? Have we ever forgotten how God has provided for us in the past? Have we ever been reluctant to follow God's instructions because we're just not sure if we can do what he's asking us to do? What are our excuses that we give to God when he says, feed these people? Or maybe he's asked us to do something else. Is our excuse we're just not good enough? Oh, so-and-so over there can do it. They're much better than I am. They've got more gifts than I do. How about money? Do we just, oh, Lord, we don't have enough money. I mean, take a look at what the disciples said. It would take 8 months' wages, God. I mean, really? That's pretty impossible. And do we look at God and say, you know what? We don't have enough money to do what you've asked us to do. How about I'm just too young. God, I can't do that. I mean, who would listen to me? Who would pay attention? Or maybe I'm too old and you know what? Or maybe I'm just too busy. Or maybe we just think to ourselves, we just plain don't like ourselves and think God messed up when he created us. Well, I've got really good news this morning. Just as Jesus, the gentle shepherd who had compassion on the crowd of people who met him in that solitary place, so Jesus has compassion on each and every one of us. In Psalm 103, 13 to 14, he says, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we're formed. He remembers that we're dust. And take, for example, this morning, even though I, in and of myself, don't have the words to give you this morning, I can depend on God to give me the strength and the power to get up here and to proclaim God's word. And he gives each and every one of us opportunities. God's power is available to us to help him serve us or serve him, and God's power is enough for anything that he has asked us to do. When Jesus sent out his disciples two by two, remember it says he gave them authority over evil spirits. When he told them not to take anything but a staff and sandals, not even an extra tunic. We never hear in the story that God didn't supply the disciples' needs when they went out, right? Did we ever hear that? Mm-mm. They went out and did what Jesus told them to do. He sent them out, and they went out and did it. And God blessed their efforts. So even though the disciples were amazed and they were a little put out that Jesus would ask them to feed these 5,000 people, they still followed his directions, right? They went, and they went around, and they searched to see if there was any food or there was any bread or any fish. And when they did, God used this miracle to feed the 5,000. And the disciples, remember, were hungry too? Remember that? They never ate, right? And God met their need. They were filled too. So what is it that God might be asking you to do today? Do you believe that he has the power to help you do it? You know, he knows that we're weak sometimes and don't feel like we measure up, or that we can't do what he's asked us to do. But I'm here to tell you that God's power is enough for you, and his grace is enough for you. And God wants his kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. When we're obedient to God, he can use us to allow his kingdom to come down here on earth. That little boy gave all that he had. What will we give to the Lord? God promises to meet our needs when we give ourselves to him. Just as he provided manna to the people of Israel, just as he fed the 5,000 in the solitary place, he will meet your needs. So come to him, give yourself to him, listen and do what he says. The gentle shepherd will give us the courage and give us the grace to step out in faith and to see the miracles that God wants to do in you and the miracles that God wants to do in me. A while back, Pastor Steve preached on this, and if you guys have been coming to this church for a long time, you know that he's already talked on this and about how when the people sat down to this feast that Jesus supplied, they probably got up the next day and were still probably hungry, right? They probably, when they were fed this banquet meal, they probably still were hungry the next day. So was this particular feeding intended to satisfy their hunger forever, their physical hunger? No. But Jesus was giving them a glimpse of heaven on earth through this meal. It says they all ate and they were satisfied. And when we think about the prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," in heaven, everyone is going to be dining together, coming together, and everyone is going to be satisfied, right? There's going to be peace and there's going to be contentment. And we can contrast, again, this meal that Jesus provided for these people with the meal that Herod provided for his guests, right? It was lavish. He only served the people of honor and distinction. At Jesus' banquet, everyone was there, right? Everyone. And that's how God's kingdom is. It's available to everyone. Not just available to the people over in another country. Not just available to us. Not just available to those on the other side of town. Not just available here and not there. No, God's kingdom and his banquet is available to everybody. And he wants us to partake of it. And I would just invite you this morning to partake of his meal and to know that he will satisfy our needs and that he wants to be our gentle shepherd, that he has compassion on us, and that we don't have to be afraid to step out in faith and do what he's asked us to do. So I would invite our worship team to come this morning. We're not going to serve communion, but I would invite our worship team to come and sing the song, "Gentle Shepherd." Come and lead us. And if you're feeling the Lord tugging at your heart this morning, that you have been like the disciples at the beginning, where they're just questioning and they're not really sure, even though God's done a lot of things for them in the past, how about what's God done for you in the past? Maybe he's calling you to take a step further and to trust him for the next step. But he wants us to be reminded of him and the fullness that he gives us, just like he fed the 5,000. Thank you.